Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden Show. Since I'm talking first, I should say the Julie Hayden, Chuck Bonnywell Show, Truth Straight Up, brought to you by Denver Cytogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan, and Happy Trees at happytrees.co. A lot of stuff going on today. We're going to have Cheryl Chumley coming up. You'll be glad to know that Bill Gates wants us to give him $1 billion in order to save us from the next pandemic, so don't worry, everything's fine there.
Compared to the Ukrainians, I mean, you know, just...
That's true. Hey, I want to say, Sandra, thank you. Yeah, we had just a little bit of delay. The guys at BBS run a bazillion shows and just a little bit of a delay getting started. So apologize for that. But want to start off with Michael Camp out of Douglas County. Hey, Michael, if you want to go ahead and either turn your camera on, if you want your camera on, or unmute yourself, however you want to do it, that would be great. I need to put my glasses on. Okay, Michael, are you there?
Start video.
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
There you go. I can hear you. There you go. Perfect.
There we go. And it's Michael Campbell.
Campbell. I'm sorry. Yes. Michael Campbell. I'm reading your screen there. So thank you for joining the show. You reached out and you've been talking a lot about something going on in Douglas County. The way I understand it, what happened is Aurora wisely said, you know, this homeless encampment stuff all over the place, not good, not good. So they banned it. The folks in Castle Rock became concerned that since they're right next, the towns are close, that it might become a problem there. So they took action. And then some of the Douglas County commissioners decided to take action too, only it's the wrong action. So why don't you explain what's going on down there in Douglas County?
Well, so thank you for your time and having me on. I really appreciate the platform. Yes. I'm just a concerned citizen. I happen to be a fifth generation Colorado native. I've spent most of my adult life in Arapahoe and Douglas counties. I have seen Denver change into a small town, into one of the most crime-ridden, dirty towns in the nation. In fact, out of the 150 biggest cities in the U.S. per capita, only 12 cities are more dangerous than Denver right now.
We can do better than that.
I'm sure we could.
We can be number one.
I was perusing Facebook and I happened to see a post from our mayor, Jason Gray, and he was asking for help. He wanted the public to get involved because he felt that the Douglas County commissioners, notably Abe Layden and George Teal, are circumventing the will of our city council and his leadership. This by trying to make a homeless encampment in Castle Rock.
Because why wouldn't you want some homeless encampments in Castle Rock? I mean, you too want to become one of the worst cities in America, right?
You don't have to be this podunk cow town. You can be a real city.
Yeah, and then the issue is our city council voted it down 5-2. And right. The commissioner said, tough cookies, we're doing it anyway.
Really?
And so I think there's an ulterior motive. You know, when I started looking into this, I emailed our mayor. I asked him what I could do. I reached out to our other county commissioner, Laura Thomas, and I've been in contact with her. And basically, this is a, in my opinion, the wrong action. I mean, I know that a lot of Republicans want to be, quote unquote, compassionate. And, you know, I think what, you know, I just don't know what compassionate government program doesn't turn into a giant monster. And so what this is it's this, the county went ahead. It's moving very quickly. They purchased 10x10 metal pods. They're looking into land. They have a $5 million budget. These are going to sleep two. They're going to be permanent. There's going to be air conditioning. They're going to have electricity and it's going to be heat. It's going to be a shanty town.
Are they going to have a morphine drip for the?
That's what I asked them. I'm actually an artist by trade, and I've asked if I can get the government contract to actually beautify them, make them a zen place.
So let's back up. So Aurora,
where would they be located?
Well, they don't know yet, but the website does say that this project has a quote unquote economy of scale to include other large communities in Dougco. So I think they are trying to pass it someplace in Castle Rock.
Right.
You'd be naive to think that it's not coming to Parker and Highlands Ranch.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, let's back up for a second. These homeless encampments, this would be kind of like the stuff that they did in Denver, right? The neighborhood encampments, which, which have not worked well at all. And the homeless, they need to be close to other facilities. So it's not going to be like they're going to be out in the pristine wilderness anywhere, right? They're going to be smack dab in the middle of everything, because that's where common sense tells you have to put them. But I want to back up. So
let me ask, I mean, I don't quite understand. I mean, the county has, I assume Castle Rock's an incorporated city, and they would have no zoning ability to have a encampment within Castle Rock.
Well,
that I'm not sure about the zoning questions. I found out about this less than a week ago. Okay. I made a video that's going kind of viral on Facebook, and I'm putting out flyers. What I do know is that this has the potential to have tentacles of corruption. It's a boondoggle. The first thing is they are circumventing the will of the people in our town council.
Right.
The reason we're in Douglas is because it's not Denver.
Yeah.
It's the only safe harbor left. You get this in all other suburbs. You get this in Aurora. You're going to get it in Westminster, North Glen. It's Dougco. We're here because it's not Denver. It's not the hellhole Denver is. So it's going to be a magnet.
Exactly.
If you build it, they will come. And you know what else is going to come with it, Chuck and Julie? Car break-ins. Copper being stolen from construction service companies. Houses.
Catalytic converters. Don't forget the positive market and catalytic converters.
Catalytic converters, yeah. In fact, we had an acquaintance of ours, a friend was walking her dog in Larimer a couple of years ago, and a homeless person ran up to her boyfriend and stabbed him in the skull with a screwdriver because they were walking their dog. This is what they're inviting. And
I still don't understand how the county can build something in violation of a city's zoning codes.
I mean, I don't know that there's zoning codes. I mean, homeless encampments, that's kind of the beauty of being a homeless encampment, right? Who cares about those pesky zoning codes?
The issue is that our county commissioner, George Teal, happens to be very, very close with Larry Mizell, Richmond America, I believe. And so he's got all the connections for all the land developing and all the construction. And, you know, he's a big donor, you know, but what they're doing is they are using COVID funds, a surplus to pay for this.
Right.
So what I don't understand beyond the zoning is how can you, with integrity, opt out of COVID regulations like Dougco did? You should also have the integrity to opt out of the money, but they're not. They're going to take that money and they're buying these. And then what happens when that surplus is done? There's going to be lease options. There's going to be management. There's going to be brokerage. There is a thousand ways that corruption can happen with this. And then when it's all said and done, if they're not going to sunset this deal, they're not going to spend $5 million and sunset it when the homeless encampment or when the surplus is done, it's going to be a new tax. So they're circumventing not only your city council, but in my opinion, I think they're trying to circumvent Tabor, because there's no way the people in Castle Rock are going to vote for this.
Well, and I mean, and that's so back up, because people in Denver is just Denver. And you're right. The people in Denver anymore, they deserve what they get, right? You keep voting for this kind of stuff. You keep voting these politicians. Well, hello. Okay. You deserve what you get. But Aurora, they woke up. They said, you know, look, wait, we don't want these kind of homeless encampments. They're along the light rail. Nobody rides a light rail anymore because it's so dangerous, etc. So Aurora banned them. So then the city council of Castle Rock, if I'm right, said, whoa, wait a minute. Let's see. What's another close big city that these homeless people are now going to go to as Aurora pushes them all out. And obviously they thought Castle Rock could be an option. So they moved quickly to say, we don't want to allow homeless encampments in Castle Rock. So then for bizarre reasons, two of the three, because I can't believe Laura Thomas is for this. Two of the three Douglas County commissioners said, well, great. This is a great opportunity for us. We're going to go ahead and build a homeless encampment for the homeless to come here and live in our encampment. Like, well, what? Like,
and Julie, you're exactly right. It is an opportunity, but it's only an opportunity for George Teal and Abe Layden. An opportunity for George Teal because he's got all the connections with the land developers. It's a opportunity for George Teal because, for Abe Layden, because Abe Layden is on record for saying that he wants to run for U.S. Senate or the governorship. And that has been his plan since the day one, of his own words, of being commissioner. And so what this is, it's a typical government thing. What the liberals do is they create a problem so they can get credit for solving it.
And
this is just
going
to be a notch in his belt to say, look here, I fixed homelessness and Dougco. But the issue is there is no issue. There isn't
Not a homeless problem. Well, you're right. So they're going to create it, and then they're going to create their own cottage industries, just like they do everywhere else. You're going to have the safe drug places. You're going to need mental. I mean, they're going to create their whole cottage industry to go up to support this. Because right now, I'm assuming you don't need homeless encampment shelters in Douglas County because
you don't have them,
there aren't any homeless
people. We have 72 homeless people in the entire county. They are comparing us to the example of El Paso County, which last count had 1,700 homeless people. Dougco doesn't have a homeless people problem. And what this is going to do is it is going to be a magnet. Like I said, if you build it, they will come. Layden and Teal said this is going to be temporary housing. But they're using that like typical Orwellian 1984 double talk.
Right.
Yes, it's temporary housing, but the structures will be permanent and it's going to grow It's going to be a revolving door. So they're going to come to Castle Rock, hang out, get their freebies. And then when it's done, they're going to then come back out into Castle Rock. It is ridiculous.
They tried to do this. Remember, Chuck, we did stories. They tried to do this in Lakewood, too, right? And the people, fortunately, the Lakewood City Council, the Castle Rock City Council said, well, wait a minute. You can't do that here. You can't have a homeless village there. I mean, and as you said, all of the crime problems.
What's different is on federal land.
Right.
And therefore, you know, maybe.
Well, I mean, and I think it's not clear where it's going to go. My guess would be, and I'm not sure whether they could put it. I mean, I would imagine, Chuck, that if they had a church, just like they did in Denver, right? Homelessness isn't zoned into Denver. But I mean, they had churches who said, well, you can put that stuff here. And the church had the right to do it. So I imagine it could be that. Or
the homeless housing as opposed to Castle Rock, which does not, apparently.
In my opinion, George Teal named Layden. Why don't you open up your garages and your backyards?
Put it there. Put it in your
backyard. What are you doing, you hypocrite? You know, I am personally sick of effete, pencil-pushing bureaucrats pushing their big government ideas and compassionate ideas on me. I'm sick of them making sainthood of every victim and every minority and everything they can come up with. When is the government going to say, look out for the guys working 65, 75 hours a week, the guys who are doing everything right, the people who are paying their mortgages and paying the taxes. It's just another, it's an attack on our suburbs. You know, everybody was talking about gentrification a few years ago, and I think they're behind the times. The liberals want our suburbs. They want to ghettoize our suburbs. That is the issue here. And this is going to be a release valve from Denver and El Paso to dump their problems onto Dougco and to get rid of our safe harbor that we have created. And this is a magnet.
Who have you gotten some support from? Anybody out there that's helping you?
It's just underway. Somehow I saw this, I made the video. I have flyers going out. I am just trying to plaster the word. There's a couple public hearings that we need people to go to, and So Laura Thomas is on our side. Jason Gray, the mayor, is on our side. The city council is on our side. And I can almost guarantee 90% of the residents in Castle Rock would also be on our side.
Well, and that's, well, let me first, before I go, because I had some other questions I wanted to ask you, but why don't you tell, where are the meetings? Because if somebody isn't, because here's the thing, you're right, it sounds like they're trying to just sneak this through quickly before anybody notices anything. And then boom, you wake up and they're like, what's this next door, right? You got a million homeless people, not a million, but across from the school. But where are the meetings and when?
What I can do is I can, if you, I don't know if you can tweet out or send out to your followers. I have a PDF form of it, but the first meeting is, it's June 22nd at 6 PM. It's in Castle Rock at the Philip Miller Building, which is 103rd Street, Castle Rock. So June 22nd, 6 PM, we need to pack the house.
Who's meeting? The commissioners are cowards. Is this a commissioner's meeting? A county commissioner's meeting?
It is a homeless initiative meeting.
Okay.
And the county commissioners will be there.
Okay.
The second meeting is 8:30 a.m. July 14th, also in Castle Rock, 4400 Castleton Court.
Okay.
But we've got other things, a lot of other things. The laughable thing about this is Layden and Teal, and I don't want to call this a homeless encampment anymore. I want to call this Teal Town and Laydenville. So if you, let's please refer to it Teal Town and Laydenville, because that's essentially what it is. It's going to be a shanty, just like a Hooverville. Right. Teal Town is going to, it's going to be crime ridden. It's going to, they're going to have to close it down for rat infestations. It's going to have to, you know, be a safe harbor for their methamphetamines and whatever drugs they're selling and handing out or whatever. But the county commissioners say they want to put a camping ban in place. And this is the Orwellian double talk. Yes, a camping ban sounds good, but they cite two court cases. And the laughable thing about these court cases, they say that according to two court cases, in order to move somebody along, if you have a camping ban, you need to have a Teal Town or Laydenville in place to put these people.
Right.
What they're being dishonest about is the first court case is a Larimer County court case by an activist liberal judge in Fort Collins. It was a lower district court ruling that absolutely has zero binding authority on Delco. Right. So right. I would ask Layden and Teal, when they're making their shanty, why are you following a liberal activist judge? Why don't you grow a pair and stand up for your citizens who are doing everything right in the county?
Right.
The second court case they cite is an ACLU case against a Boulder blanket ban. And the problem with that, that one hasn't even been ruled upon. Chuck and Julie, that one just got into, it just got accepted in May.
So they're
something
saying
tells
that
me
they
they've been working on this more than a month. And so what they're saying, again, that is filed under a lower court district.
Right.
So both of their court cases have no binding effect for Dubco. So why are you taking that $500 and following a hypothetical liberal activist judge ruling rather than just taking that money and helping the police? Now, if you are fighting the ACLU, why are you making us hostage to them? It's because it's a boondoggle. There's tentacles of corruption, like I said, through the land deals, through management. Furthermore, Laura Thomas, and I'm not as well versed on this part because, again, I've known about this for less than a week. Laura Thomas is very good at articulating the services Dubco does have. We have transportation services. We have police officers dedicated to helping these people find any services that they might need. helping them get jobs, helping them with any.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, everybody. And Mike, I don't mean to do this. We've only got a couple more minutes because we have another guest at 3:30. Okay. But it sounds to me like you're absolutely right. Whatever is going on here, it's like Douglas County does not have a shanty town problem now. And right. It sounds like for whatever reason, two of the county commissioners want to create one. And I think, as we all know, you know, anybody who's gone to Denver, or I was driving in Denver earlier today, and you see along the interstate, right? I mean, it just becomes a mess. And why would you want to import that to Douglas County? And I think it goes back to what you said. They want to try to destroy the suburbs. They destroy the inner cities. So everybody's leaving the inner cities now, particularly when you can work from home or work remotely. So they're going to the suburbs. They're like, uh-oh, we better hurry up and destroy the suburbs too, or no one's going to want to live in our crime-ridden cities.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So what we need is and I know you've got a lot of other guests coming up. We really need the people in Dougco, because don't be fooled. This is not happening only in Castle Rock. This has an economy of scale. It's coming to Parker. It's coming to Highland
Westminster.
Ranch.
Yeah, it's coming everywhere.
And we need people to pack the meetings.
Okay. All right. Well, Mike,
And I hope it all works out to you, and keep us surprised about how it's going.
I appreciate that. Now, if I could also, if I could email you that flyer, I mean, I would appreciate if you two would be able to tweet it out and send it out to your followers, because you have a much bigger platform than I ever will have.
All right. We will do that, Mike. Thank you for your time, and thank you for bringing this to our attention.
All right. I appreciate you, too. Right. Thank
all
you.
Right. Appreciate it. There you go. Mike Campbell there, just a regular guy in Douglas County. I think Randy talked about this as well, Chuck, on his show, too. I think it's just something. Why would you, you know, I think we all have seen over and over again, build it and they indeed will come. And why would you let them stay in Denver?
You have two commissioners who. Ostensibly.
Right. Makes you wonder. Hey, and Thomas, if you want to go ahead and call Cheryl now, we can get her on the line too. But you know, I've been reading, I think the Daily Mail, no, New York Post has been doing some stories about Portland where they have decriminalized drugs, right? And they've shown what's happened in Portland. I think Mike is absolutely right that follow the money. Somebody somewhere is going to make money in all of this, right? Number one. But number two, it's like you create a problem, then you solve it. There's no problem there to begin with. And I just think, you know, they don't do anybody in any city any good. And again, as more people are fleeing the cities, they're like, we better hurry up and destroy the suburbs, right?
Strange. Very strange for a county commission that's Republican dominated. But I guess, you know, you never know.
You never know. So, yeah, TJ, let me know when you get Cheryl on. Cheryl Trumley has a column out. She's a Washington Times columnist talking about Bill Gates has a plan to spend $1 billion taxpayer dollars to help us with the next pandemic. They tried hard to make monkeypox a pandemic, but it just couldn't work. Even the CDC making all those helpful recommendations to have sex with your clothes on, do it, et cetera, et cetera. Wear a mask, wear a bunch of masks. So we need to be worried, obviously, about all the pandemics. No, I'm saying that sarcastically. We have Cheryl with us on line three. Hey, Cheryl, this is welcome to the Chuck and Julie show again. Thank you for your time.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. So you had a great column up I saw in the Washington Times. Bill Gates wants to spend $1 billion to save us all because he did such a great job the last time from the next pandemic. Why don't you tell us what's going on?
Yeah, so Bill Gates has this idea of hiring 3,000 scholars and scientists who can respond at any whisper of emerging virus around the world. And then this team of scientists will rush to the area and assess the health emergency situation and then decide via making recommendations and suggestions to the local bureaucrats how best to contain that threat. And it will take, in his estimate, $1 billion of taxpayer dollars per year to hire and fund this team of trained specialists. And if you read between the lines what's happening here, it's another way of moving from the coronavirus clampdowns on liberties into the next global clampdowns on individual activity.
Sounds like a rolling CDC or something, you know, a CDC on wheels that can quickly descend upon any poor area and make sure that they get polished off appropriately with the best minds. Amazing thing. When did Bill, who is Bill promoted this idea to? Has he published an article or how is he promoting this idea?
Well, he actually wrote a book, and it came out the exact same day as my most recent book, Lockdown, The Socialist Plan to Take Away Your Freedom. Bill Gates's book is How to Prevent the Next Pandemic. And in his book, one of his ideas is to develop this force of scientists to travel the world and respond to emerging threats. But if you just consider the title of his book, How to Prevent the Next Pandemic, it's rather astonishing to me that an individual, a human, can take it upon him or herself to prevent any pandemic. That's not right. In his charge. It's not in his domain. And yet this is what he advances as a feasible idea.
Well, and Rasisha, we saw how well it worked the last one, right? I mean, we locked down everything. Everybody got vaccinated, not everybody, people got vaccinated, boosted, you name it, and we still had a pandemic. It's a height of arrogance to think that somehow he, Bill Gates, can just, you know, can stop a pandemic from sweeping the globe. It failed so miserably the last time around.
It's utter arrogance. And let's remember, when I've talked about this before, let's remember Bill Gates was the Microsoft guy, right? And the right. joke that others have said to me before was that he couldn't even fix the viruses within his own software. What makes him think that he can cure viruses and save mankind? So the idea that Bill Gates can do this is arrogant, but it's based on his egomaniacal tendencies. This is a guy who has more money than he knows what to do with, and so he's set financially for life. So his next move in life, his next play, is to look at how best to spend that money to exert the greatest amount of influence and leave his footprint on this world before he dies.
And one other thing, too, which you point out in your book is I don't think Bill Gates cares one bit about somebody getting sick or dying from a pandemic. What he cares about is power. And the last time around, that's why he wants this global rapid response team, right? The last time around, we had pesky local health departments doing their own thing. We had some states, good grief, look what they did in Florida, and different countries handled it differently. But if these socialists or globalist elites can have, you know, some kind of international rule where they just swoop into, you know, whatever, the Adams County where we live, and they can enforce everything and they can push everything through. I mean, I think that's what's behind it too, don't you? They just want power and control.
Absolutely. And if you recall, go back in time, it was Bill Gates who was critical of those Republicans who tried to restore freedoms to American citizens. Look at what he said in the past about Governor Ron DeSantis. Look at what he said about Donald Trump when Donald Right. Trump didn't want to take Bill Gates's specific, items of advisement. And it was Bill Gates himself who actually seemingly had some influence over the idea of the World Health Organization, which he funds. He's the second greatest funder of the WHO behind America at one time. He had influence on the declaration of the coronavirus as a pandemic. So right. Here's a guy who sees China as the model, and constantly over two plus years of the coronavirus that America dealt with, constantly referenced how China was dealing with the coronavirus, as if to say that America ought to go just like China.
Yeah. The Shanghai solution, where you just seal everybody into their apartment houses.
Yes.
What kind of reception has his book gotten?
His book? I'm not positive about how it's doing, but his ideas certainly gather steam with some on Capitol Hill. There was a piece of legislation that was introduced a couple years ago called the Contact Trace Everyone Act. The number of it was HR 6666. It was introduced by Congressman Bobby Rush from Illinois. And in that act, it called for $100 billion a year, okay, $100 billion of tax dollars in America per year to contact trace everyone, to set up a system in which every man, woman, and child in America could be tracked by government bureaucrats under justification of protecting them from emerging viruses and emergency health health issues. And along those lines, within that bill was also funding for the types of programs that Bill Gates advances in his book and in his recent interview with, I think it was Time or Newsweek, where he also outlined, again, his 3,000 specially trained force of rapid react scientists.
Well, and they can get, I mean, they'll do exactly, I think the coronavirus was sort of like a dress rehearsal. I mean, then they can turn around and say, well, it's dangerous. So they can censor anyone who challenges them. They can get some kind of private company to, you know, on your cell phone, for instance, to do the contact tracing. They get a contract with them. I mean, so everybody somewhere is making money on that. When you think of it, it's a kind of thing, Cheryl, that I think people are like, yeah, but, you know, they won't do that again. Nobody liked the lockdowns. I don't think so. I think they saw how easily people were persuaded to do this and how easily people were, you know, giving their babies vaccinations, for God's sakes. I think that they're just waiting for the next opportunity. Like you said, it's a plan to take over the world and rob us all of our freedoms.
Yeah, I think they're busily creating the next opportunity, as a matter of fact, and I agree completely with what you just said. They are if Americans think we're headed back to pre-pandemic norms for the permanent future, think again, because the left is just biding its time now, floating out various other viruses. We had the coronavirus variant that the media happily latched onto to create the same type of hysteria it did over the coronavirus. And then came the monkeypox, which is basically a big yawner of a virus. Right. I mean, nobody gets impacted by it, except possibly men who have sex with men, which is a little line item that gets buried in all the media coverage about monkeypox. But, you know, if it's not that, look at the bullet we just dodged at the World Health Organization, where this administration, Joe Biden's White House, actually introduced an amendment that would have given the director general at World Health Organization the power to declare health emergencies in any nation, in any corner of any nation of the world, which would have set in stage it would have set in motion the ability for Bill Gates then to send in his team of happy 3,000 scientists to advise local bureaucrats how to shut down economies and contain the virus.
And we saw what happened. I mean, I'm sure it would happen again, too. If you happen to be a doctor or a physician or somebody who spoke out against it and said, well, wait a minute, I don't know that we need to do that. You were shunned, banned. We had a doctor friend. Licenses taken away. Exactly. I mean, you know, a domestic terrorist. And I think what's alarming about this, too, is they're the ones who get to decide and no one gets to question. How do we know? Well, we can't trust them, I guess. I would submit they can just say, okay, now we're going to, I know that Ron DeSantis is being very pesky again. Let's just go down there and, oh, look, we got a strep throat pandemic going on in Florida. Boom. And they lock everything down and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, the possibility for abuse on this is insane, I think.
Well, I think the guarantee of abuse, and I think you nailed it when you said that it was sort of a test case, this coronavirus, to see how far America would go in terms of complying with government dictates that were never codified. They were never made pieces of legislation where politicians would have to take open and transparent votes on them. All the lockdowns Americans experienced were done by the mouth of just one bureaucrat in most cases.
Right.
And the fact that churches themselves ultimately closed based on government orders is a huge flag for the bureaucrats and globalists who have been looking at America for years with lust, to kill our constitution. It's kind of like the final wall. And I think that's the sign they needed.
Well, and another thing, too, it seems to me that if your goal is to try to stop the next pandemic, how much easier would that be if, rather than waiting to do all the contact tracing and monitoring of people after you find a virus, I think if you just do it constantly ongoing, that way you can react even closer. I mean, I think that would be the next step, right? Just to say.
But on the other hand, it is amazing how organizations like the CDC, Dr. Fauci, and many others, who were at one time given a great deal of deference, that's gone. That is gone. No one will think that you can trust 3,000 scientists. So at least for that public relations portion of it, they've lost any support they had. Now, maybe they don't depend upon support. They plan to force you to do what they plan to do. But certainly no one thinks of on the right anyway, Dr. Fauci as some kind of Mr. Science, as he described himself. And Bill Gates, he is certainly a strange figure and getting stranger.
Well, nobody on...
you there?
To go this long anyhow, the clampdown.
Right.
The Democrats, however, latch on to Anthony Fauci as still, as he himself declared, the face of science. And Democrats, which include most in the media, right, which is the media is the powerful force here because it drives the hysteria and it creates the impression that things are what they actually aren't. And, you know, the media and the Democrats love Anthony Fauci. They admire Bill Gates and think that he is this altruistic figure that is giving tons of his own money to save humanity, never bothering to do the dirty work and dig and find out that he's actually getting back a lot more than what he gives.
Well, let me ask you, that was going to be my next question. I mean, I'm always big on, because I don't believe Bill Gates is doing this out of the kindness and goodness of his heart, but I would suggest follow the money. I mean, because wasn't he heavily involved in pharmaceuticals and things like that and vaccines? I mean, where's the dollar sign at the end of the road for him?
Yeah, I've only done some preliminary tracking of the money involved, and it all leads back to the big pharmaceuticals and some of the little, but Bill Gates is actually a driving force behind the development of vaccines. He created this camp decade of vaccines, and it coincided with his departure, his full departure from Microsoft, where he jumped 2 feet forward into vaccine development and delivery. And he gave this insightful interview or this illuminating interview a couple years ago in which he said of all his investments that he's done his entire lifetime, the one that gave the greatest return on investment was vaccine delivery, meaning the system by which vaccines are carried to all corners of the earth. He said that never failed in terms of investment. And here's a guy, when he created his decade of vaccines, what it did was put in motion this system where he would spend 100% of his time developing vaccines to benefit humanity. Who was on the board of that decade of vaccines? Anthony Fauci and others who have gained, right? Who go to the Gates Foundation website, look it up, and you can see Fauci's name on the board, as well as others who have gained financially from the last couple years. And so here's a guy who has his life planned out now to develop vaccines that he needs the media to sell as being life-saving.
Right.
What kind of reaction has your article gotten?
Well, my article has gotten mostly favorable because most on the left who have spent so many years attacking me have given up largely because they know that I don't care. And really the article I wrote was just a small snippet of what's in my book. So they have bigger fish to fry with my book.
And let me, though, because we've got just a couple more questions for we'll have to let you go. Why don't you tell folks about your book? I mean, we've talked to you before
about the book and where they can get it.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Well, you can get Lockdown anywhere books are offered, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon, or on my website, CherylChumley.com. But I wrote it because there were so many lies and deceptions being told about the coronavirus. And so I spent half the book telling readers about some of the behind-scenes discussions and agendas that fueled the hysteria over the coronavirus, and then I spend the other half, more importantly, looking ahead at where the left wants to use this coronavirus to continue clampdowns on liberties.
Right. Well, and it is. And as we said, I think it's scary. You even got churches to close down. And the business isn't everything. So, and they can get that anywhere. Cheryl, thank you for coming. Thank you for doing the research to do this, because I think
Good job, Cheryl.
Yeah, it's so important because, you know, everybody's going around leading their lives, and you got Bill Gates conspiring.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Yes. Thank you very much there. Cheryl Chumley. CherylChumley.com, too, is a great place. You can get all of her stuff. Chuck, real quick, there is, I always like to be optimistic about things. And I know Chuck is there, just so folks know, he's at the Glendale Trade Chronicle World Headquarters. The paper comes out later this week. The Buzz Lightyear new movie is having dismal, compared to what they were expecting, box office ratings, Top Gun and the Jurassic Park movie going crazy. So, I mean, they got rid of Tim Allen because he was too conservative. And then they have apparently a gay scene in Buzz Lightyear, the Disney cartoon. And apparently people are like, you know, I don't think I need to see that. So there is some hope out there, right?
Well, it still made $55 million, but it's amazing that they spent $300 million on an animated cartoon. And at that rate, they have to make $600 million to break even. And that's not going to happen. They don't seem to mind. I mean, you got to give, you know, those people credit. They took the Star Wars thing and woke that up and destroyed right. that one. I mean, it's amazing how many of their franchises that just make money hand over fist or are doing just awful. But maybe... Maybe they get Amber Heard to be this national spokesman or something.
Or something like that. That's right. Hey, that is going to wrap it up for us today. Again, sorry about if you joined the show live or if you listen, it's a little bit shorter today, a little bit of technical problems at the beginning there. On Wednesday, we got a great show coming up on Wednesday. We've got Greg Lopez, Eric Audlin, and then Daniel Greenfield, another national columnist coming up on Wednesday. Friday.
Well, you indicated, though, I did not see it, that the National Republican Senatorial Committee is all upset that Ron Hanks is getting all this airplay.
That's right. Well, they're complaining on behalf of Joe O'Day. Not that Christy Burton Brown would put her finger on the scale, Chuck. That would never, never happen. She's strictly neutral. But she's saying that, and so the Republicans, the Republican Senate Campaign Committee, is that what you call it? Anyway, this is the national one. They're complaining that the ads that are running that are supporting Ron Hanks, which are being paid for by Democrat dark money, they're saying they're not revealing who their donors are.
So, oh, no, you're kidding.
I don't know. Once again, it's like perhaps if you'd close your primary, none of this would be happening. Just saying. But anyway.
Everybody have a great day, and we'll see you Wednesday.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.